welcome to the Emmaus Bible Hour. This is a program for the family, with an emphasis on finding out what God has to say to us through His Word, the Bible. All roads lead to Rome. It was a byword and a proverb in the days of Paul. From the golden milestone in Rome, great arterial highways flung their tentacles across the world. From Rome, Paul could reach the world. For if all roads led to Rome, just as surely, all roads led from Rome. So time and again, this master strategist of Christian missions wrote Rome boldly at the top of his itinerary plans. And though something always hindered, he persisted in his purpose. "I must see Rome," he said. "I must see Rome." Then while at Corinth, Paul heard that Phoebe, an active member of the church, was planning a visit to the city of the Caesars. "I'll write you a letter of commendation to the saints at Rome, Phoebe," he said, and so he did. And by the time he came to put down his pen, however, Paul had written his theological masterpiece, and one of the most important documents in the history of the world, his epistle to the Romans. Thus wrote John Phillips in his introduction to his book, Exploring Romans. We've used it as an introduction to our survey of Romans. As many of you know, we've been studying the course, Summary of the Bible, a correspondence course of the Emmaus Bible School. We're on Lesson 10 and page 1 of that lesson. It is titled, From the Pen of Paul. And as we've already noted, we begin with Romans. Just as Acts gives the history of the church, so the epistles present the great teachings or doctrines of the church. Romans, for instance, sets forth the doctrine of justification by faith. Justification means that God looks upon a sinner as fit for heaven the moment that sinner puts his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In this letter to the Romans, Paul first shows that all men are sinners, and therefore guilty before God. He then tells how the Lord Jesus Christ died as a substitute for sinners, so that men can be saved simply by believing on Him. In this connection, he emphasizes that first, salvation is by faith, and not by keeping the law or by good works. Second, Gentiles as well as Jews can be saved in this way. Third, no one was ever saved in any other way, even in Old Testament times. After describing the wonderful benefits of justification, Paul emphasizes that this free salvation encourages holy living. Christians consider themselves as having been buried with Christ. Now they live with the object of pleasing God. The indwelling Holy Spirit gives them the power to live in a godly manner. To the objection that the gospel disregards God's past promises to the nation of Israel, Paul shows that Israel's present condition of being set aside is neither complete nor final. God will fulfill His promises when a believing portion of the nation receives the Lord Jesus as its Messiah. The last five chapters are filled with practical instructions as to how justified persons should behave in their dealings with God, with civil government, with the world, and with their fellow believers. By many, the Epistle to the Romans is considered to be the most important single presentation of fundamental Christian doctrine. We're going to pause right here for some music. Before we do, let me ask you a question. Are you enjoying justification? Remember, we defined it as God looking upon a sinner as fit for heaven the moment that sinner puts his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are not enjoying the great results of justification, we would encourage you to read this book of Romans. Yes, and reread it. You can be as sure of heaven as if you were already there. Thank you. You are listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour. We're taking a quick trip through the Bible. At a future date, we trust we'll be able to come back and look at some of these books in depth. In fact, do a whole series of broadcasts on one book. Of course, you can do that right now. We'd like to remind you that we have courses on many books of the Bible. For instance, we have studies in many of the books of the New Testament. Be ready with pencil and paper at the close of the program for our address. Now, 1 Corinthians. Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth arose from reports that he heard about troubles there. Also, he includes answers to questions he had been asked by some of the believers. You will note from the subjects dealt with in 1 Corinthians that the conduct of the church's affairs is in view. Here are some of the subjects. First, divisions and strife in the church. The Corinthians were exalting human leaders and had to be rebuked. Second subject, sin committed by one of the members is indicated in chapter 5. The church was not to countenance this, but to exclude the brother until he confessed and forsook his sin. A third subject, Christians going to law against each other. This is forbidden. They should be able to settle such matters among themselves. A fourth theme, personal impurity. This, too, is condemned by Paul. He reminds them that the Christian's body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Fifth, marriage. In chapter 7, Paul teaches that marriage is not compulsory, that sometimes it is expedient to remain single. However, the general rule is that men and women should marry in view of prevailing immorality. The sixth subject, meats sacrificed to idols. While it is not wrong to eat such meat, we should not do anything that would offend other Christians. The seventh matter dealt with was the women's place in public ministry or worship. Women should wear a covering on their head as a testimony to the angels of their subjection. The eighth important subject dealt with in 1 Corinthians is the Lord's Supper. This feast should only be eaten after searching self-examination. Ninth subject, spiritual gifts. The most spectacular gifts are not always the best. Indeed, they are all worthless without love. Tenth, the resurrection. Chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians is one of the outstanding passages on the doctrine of the resurrection of the body. And finally, the care of the poor. The epistle closes with instructions for systematic giving on the part of the church to the poor. Now we turn to Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. There are two main themes in this epistle. The first and most prominent is the apostle's defense of his own ministry. Apparently some enemies of the truth had arisen in Corinth, denying that Paul was a true apostle of the Lord Jesus. In reply to these charges, Paul here describes the greatness of the ministry which had been committed to him, and how severely he had suffered in carrying out his appointed task. He compares his service with that of these false teachers. Paul reminds the Corinthians that they themselves were proof of the genuineness of his work, since they had been saved through his ministry. Then a second subject is a moving appeal by Paul to send financial help to the suffering and needy saints in Jerusalem. The Corinthians should imitate the generosity of the Lord Jesus, who, though he was rich, yet became poor, that we, through his poverty, might be rich. The final book that we'll look at this time is Galatians. After Paul had visited Galatia and founded churches there, false teachers began to deny his authority as an apostle and to teach the Christians that circumcision and obedience to the law were necessary for salvation. In his letter to the Galatians, Paul first of all shows that his message was from the Lord Jesus himself and that therefore his message was divine. He then insists that salvation is entirely by grace and not by law keeping. The law can only curse, and condemn those who fail to keep it. It cannot give life. God gave the law to show men their need of a Savior. Once they are saved, they are redeemed from the curse of the law. After salvation, Christ and not the law is their rule of life. And then Paul closes by encouraging the saints to live in the enjoyment of Christian liberty and not allow themselves to be put under the bondage of the law. He reminds them that the cross spells the end of their personal efforts to obtain salvation. Now they live by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by the energy of the flesh. So Galatians is another book that we need to study in depth for the day in which we live. It's time to close our books, but before we do, let us remind those who are studying with us that it's exam time, so do the exam at the end of Lesson 10 and mail it to the address indicated. In just a few moments, we'll be giving you our radio address. Don't forget, we'd very much like to hear from you, so write to us this week. This is the Emmaus Bible Hour.